Support for the Blueprint podcast comes from the Sands Institute. Are you a new Blue Team member or a SOC analyst looking to make sense of the vast variety of data that you see on a day-to-day basis? Are you working in a SOC that's plagued with alerts that are constantly bothering you with false positives or repetitive action? If so, I know that pain. I remember being an analyst and walking into the SOC and thinking everything was going to be great and then realizing, oh, we have some serious problems here. I've dealt with those problems over the course of my long career, and the results of what I've learned have been summarized in my brand new course, Sec 450 Blue Team Fundamentals. If you are a new SOC analyst looking to get a grapple on all of the network and host data that you interact with, improve your analysis technique, learn how to reverse engineer malicious file types that you commonly see in phishing or downloaded from the internet, or just get rid of those pain points from the average SOC, like repetitive actions, drowning in tickets, alert fatigue, Sec 450 is the class for you. Check this course out at sansurl.com/450. Hope to see you in class.
This is the Blueprint Podcast, bringing you the latest in cyber defense and security operations from top Blue Team leaders. Blueprint is brought to you by the Sands Institute and is hosted by Sands certified instructor, John Hubbard. And now, here's your host, John Hubbard.
Hey, did you know Microsoft has released their own official playbooks for how to respond to password spraying, phishing, and app consent grant attacks? On this episode of the Blueprint Podcast, we talk with Thomas Densner and Mark Marozinski about how to use these new playbooks, their prerequisites, the investigation stage, and how to do remediation, as well as some other really important details on succeeding in Azure Active Directory defense. This one is going to be important for everyone to hear, so stick around. Welcome to the Blueprint Podcast, everyone. Today on the show, we have Thomas Densner and our first ever repeat guest, Mark Marozinski. They're here to tell us about a really exciting project that I think is going to be of interest to literally everyone that listens to this podcast. So before we get into that, welcome to the podcast, guys. And to start off, I wanted to do some quick intros. Thomas, could you kick us off?
Sure. Thanks for having us. My name is Thomas. I'm a program manager in the Identity division of Microsoft. And I'm with Microsoft for quite some time, 21 years now, done quite a bit of work in security space as well as compromise recovery for quite some time. And now since almost 3 years in the identity division. Over to Mark.
Hello. Yes, I am Mark Marozinski, and I'm on the same team as Thomas here on the identity division. And we work with customers on their deployments of Azure Active Directory and take some of the learnings and feedbacks from those deployments, and we work it back into the product.
Fantastic. Something that's relevant to nearly every single organization, I imagine, out there at this point, right? The inspiration for this episode was that Mark had emailed me recently and drew attention to these new playbooks that you guys had published. And when I saw them, I was instantly like, this is definitely an episode of Blueprint, because I was reading through them and I'm like, this is exactly what people need to know right now. I wanted to get you on the show. And for the listeners, I contacted them for the first time 24 hours ago. So thank you so much for being willing to meet at the last second here. Today, I wanted to cover a couple of things about this project, just kind of introduce it and cover like the inspiration and the idea behind it, what you've got there already and how teams can use that, and then where you're hoping to take it in the kind of near term and far future. So to start it off, I want to talk a little about the inspiration for the project. Can you tell us, was there a specific moment that brought this about? You're like, we should write playbooks, or, you know, what was the need that Microsoft was thinking we should give out official guidance on these things?
So we had definitely a moment where we saw Azure AD is becoming more and more popular, and our large enterprise customers put more and more of their identities into our system. And as such, obviously, we also saw certain attacks rise. So we've talked to a number of them for quite some time. Password spray as one key example there, I think. And then we saw, like Mark and myself, we sit together with some of our folks from the DART team. So these are the people who are actually going to customers on site or went to customers on site before COVID, and help them with the actual incident investigation. And yeah, one of the things that became very clear to us when we start, talking to those folks was that, there could be a need for, maybe a bit more structured guidance and more comprehensive guidance, because the cloud is still, to some customers, still very new. and also to the investigation teams. You know, there are concepts that are not everybody is very familiar with. App consent, for example, is a great area where we still see there is a good need for education and explaining how things actually work under the hood. And as such, we wanted to also enable our customers to ideally be, equipped with the right methodologies before things happen. So this is also something we have, like both myself and Mark are very passionate about, is that, enable our customers to help themselves before, bad things actually happen. Yeah. And we can talk about that later in the show as well. What additionally we're working on, and hopefully that lands very well with your community as well. And we're also very keen on getting your guys' feedback.
Absolutely. Yeah, it certainly will be of interest to the folks that are listening to this podcast. One of the things I wanted to describe is, for now, the three playbooks that you have written for, and for listeners, if you're looking to find these, you can just search, I assume, Microsoft Incident Response Playbooks, and it should come up probably as the first thing. There are three of them that are already published, and that is one for phishing and one for password spray and one for app consent grants. What is it about those three scenarios that you're like, these are the three we need to hit first?
Right. So, yeah. So if you wanted to find them, we create a short link. So ak.ms/IR playbooks to make it also very easy to discover. In terms of why we picked those three, it's a really good question. So, we thought when I mentioned when we had the first conversations internally, what kind of guidance should we build up and what kind of scenarios would be relevant for our customers? And we looked over with our incident response teams, as well as with our own security teams internally. So we have a lot of, hunting teams, teams who are doing this exercise on a daily basis, essentially. And we tried to focus on, let's say, the key scenarios and the key attack vectors that we see as of today to make it relevant for our customers. So that's why we picked, phishing, obviously, is... in any campaign, you have a phishing vector probably attached to it. Password spray is still very, very prominent. Have some great guidance out there already, but it's still a very, very prominent attack vector. And the malicious app consent is what we see as a rising threat, and that's why we wanted to, be out there and educate people and help the investigation teams on that front as well. And raise awareness as well. I think one of the things we wanted to do is exactly raise the awareness of these threats and the rising threats for app consent, for example, and give a structured guidance. So one of the things that Mark and myself and the team, so it was not just Mark and myself, so we had a wee team of several people across multiple divisions of Microsoft actually working on those playbooks and validating that they actually work. Really to come up with, as much prescriptive guidance as possible and also not rely on, hey, the customer, dear customer, you need to have, all the, great features that we have in Premium 2 service plans or E5, which we obviously love our customers to use because that will help even more on the automation. But we also wanted to have these playbooks for customers who maybe not even have a premium plan. So really, have the investigations teams really do, let's say, the step-by-step or like walking on their barefoot kind of scenarios.
Fantastic. The malicious app consent grant thing, I'm pretty sure most of the listeners are going to know what phishing is and password spray attacks, but malicious app consent granting is one of those things that might be a little bit more obscure to some folks. Could you go over real quickly like how that's used in an attack and what you mean by that?
Yeah, I can talk about this one. So basically, kind of like a phishing attack where you would get them to click on something and maybe run an executable like an Excel macro or something. This is they try to get you to consent to an application. So you're probably familiar with this when you install an app on your mobile phone and it wants to, get to your contacts and maybe use your camera or, because it's going to do some funny face thing that you can send, to your contacts and stuff like that. And you, as an end user, are saying, yes, this application can have those permissions on my phone or my mobile device. Very similar matter on the malicious app consent where they say, oh, this is some, you know, Office 365 thing and it needs access to your contacts and to your mail and things like that. And as an end user, you have the ability to consent to certain permissions in the tenant and then you can consent to it. And most of the time, it's not bad at all. Like there's applications where people use them for workflows and stuff like that. And if you're not paying attention and you consent to an application, that application has those permissions just like the user can do. And all users can read the directory. That's the whole point of the directory. They can read the GAL and it can use that as an entryway to start gathering, you know, information about your company in there. And the other part that's really kind of interesting about this is that there's no like artifacts on the machine, right? When people go, oh, we got compromised, let's get the forensics toolkit on this machine and like pull it offline. Like there's nothing on that thing, right? Because it's an app that's running in the cloud that has access to your stuff. So it's a lot, it's much, much different thing that you need to take a look at. And we have quite a bit of guidance around there and a script that you can run to help look at what apps people have consented to. And like I said, most of the time, the apps are okay. Like this is, you know, it's a business decision to say, you know, we want people to be able to consent to this stuff, but it could be malicious. And it's kind of a thing that's sneaking under the radar because people aren't really aware of it, right? Like the traditional phishing or password spray type of attack.
Yeah, definitely an important thing to get described and get out there. So thank you for describing that. One of the things I wanted to dive into here is the three different playbooks you have written. What are like the core pieces of what you have documented for people that they're going to find on the site when they go to that link?
So all the playbooks follow a similar format. So in each playbook, you will find the prerequisites, like what we recommend you do before things happen. So this is something we highly recommend that people ideally, you know, do today and you know, get their tenant configured, like, you know, auditing settings or log streaming set up correctly so that in case, you know, you actually have to do the investigation, that you have enough data to look at and the relevant data to look at. The other things that we call out is in the prerequisites, obviously PowerShell modules that we recommend. And in terms of the PowerShell modules, we also created a complete new PowerShell module for this effort. It's called Azure AD Incident Response. So we also linked that in the playbooks to help with the investigation, as Mark said. So for the malicious app consent, for example, we created a PowerShell module to visualize what permissions are there and get them into an Excel sheet, for example. And then the next section is the actual investigation steps. So like really step by step, what we recommend to do. And part of that, we also have a flow. So we have a flow diagram of the steps that we think are the best way on how to analyze such an attack. And then the last point is remediation or recommendation on how to recover. So how would we recommend customers or investigation teams to maybe change configurations and customer tenants? So these are the three, I would say, main pillars, so or four, so to speak. So number one is prerequisites, and number two is the flow diagram, and number three, the actual steps that you have to do, and then the mitigation options or recovery options that are available.
We'll be back after a quick break.
If you're enjoying this episode, then you're undoubtedly interested in building the strongest security operations team that you can. For those who want to go even deeper, did you know that SANS has not one, but two courses that cover security operations centers as well? For the leaders, managers, and directors out there, my co-author Mark Orlando and I offer 551, Building and Leading Security Operations Centers. This course covers building your team, your physical and virtual workspace, getting the right data into your tools, and then focusing on security priorities through everyday execution of important security tasks and building the best SOC team possible. For the technical practitioners out there, my course Sec 450, Blue Team Fundamentals, Security Operations and Analysis is designed to cover everything you need to jump in being the best SOC analyst that you can be. We cover important data types, SOC tools, security logs, malware, analysis technique, automation, and much, much more. In addition, if you want to prove you can deliver the best on any security team, both courses have an accompanying certification available from GIAC. That's the GSOM for 551 and the GSOC for 450. Check out both courses and free demos available on the SANS website. You can get registered today for an in-person course at one of our many events, or go to On Demand and take either class anywhere at your own pace. Thanks for listening.
And you've done a great job being super detailed in those things. I think when people go check those out, they're going to be really impressed with that. On the first part of that, the prerequisites, kind of the setup and the PowerShell modules and everything. One thing I wanted to ask about that, is this going to be something that is a typical setup that most security teams that you encounter like have the permissions to do and are able to just kind of jump right in and go? Or is this going to take like a little bit of adjustment to maybe what they have in a standard setup?
It depends on the environment, but like most of it depends on the Azure AD logs being sent to your scene. And if you have not done that yet, like that's a real good thing to do for lots of other reasons, just besides following our playbooks, right? So there's a few different ways you can do that. You can pull it via the Graph API, but we really recommend to use the Azure Event Hub, and there's pre-built connectors for Sentinel will automatically suck those logs in. But if you have something like Splunk or ElkStack or whatever, there's all these pre-built connectors that would basically the logs will get pushed from Azure ADs, the sign-in logs, the audit logs, as well as the refresh token logs, the application logs, and the managed service identity logs. So John, you got to have me back next season for like a whole Azure AD logs conversation. But yes, all those logs should be being sent to your SIEM, so you're able to do all kinds of other good stuff besides this IR playbooks.
Does that include the phishing email stuff as well? Because I noticed there was one section that had said, we recommend to pull this information, you would need like global reader or security reader. Is that something that companies are comfortable giving their SOC team in your experience?
I think so. I think there's the global reader role is kind of like the happy path for some of this stuff. Cause you really don't want to give out that global admin, right? They can make changes, but the global reader can see everything the global admin can do, but they don't have any permissions to actually change anything. There's also a security reader role as well. I'm not sure, Thomas, I don't know if you know offhand if that one also meets the requirements for some of this. I think it depends on the logging you're looking at.
Yeah, it really depends. So we really, in the playbooks, in the prerequisite section, is we call out the minimum role that we see that you need, like the investigation team need. And our DAR team, as I said in the beginning, the DAR team has used those playbooks in an active investigation. So we know that these roles, like when you ask for permissions for those roles, things will work. And as Mark said, typically my experience as well is customers are fine of giving out the global reader role because you can just look at the logs, and specifically in an investigation event, customers also, have a certain need for getting things done and to understand what's happening. So we didn't see any issues there, to be honest. So it's global reader or the security reader role should be sufficient for what you do or what the investigation teams need to do.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I asked that specifically because in my own experience as well, and some of the people I've talked to, there's always that like, I don't know, can we give the SOC the permission to see all the email, information right, or whatever? And the read-only portion is something that's important to point out. It's like, you're not going to break anything. So as long as you're okay with them seeing the data, right? That's really the big hurdle. And as long as you can do that, it's not going to, it shouldn't be too much of a fight, hopefully.
Right. And that's only if you need to go like look through the portal and stuff. Like you can push all those logs out to the SOC, right, into the SIEM, and they can do whatever they need to do there without any permissions, right? Like because you're already piping the logs to your SIEM.
Yeah, certainly. The other thing you brought up I wanted to ask about was the new PowerShell module, the Azure AD Incident Response. What kind of features are built into that that are new for people that are going to be doing this?
Right. So we worked there again very closely with our actual investigation teams. So we asked them, what kind of automation do you typically need? So when you do the investigations, what would help you, to make those investigations quicker? So in the module, so I have it open right here. So it's first of all to get the base connectivity set up really quickly. So we wrap the whole connectivity to the tenant in a separate function. Then we added commandlets for API permissions, for MFA registration details, what MFA informations are available for users. We wrapped something for conditional access. So how do you look at the conditional access policies that are configured in the tenant? Also for SSPR, so self-service password reset details are in there. And then last sign-in activities. So what activities did a certain user perform? And you can all filter that. That's the beauty of, or that's the reason why we also created a PowerShell module. People are familiar with that, and you can pipe those into different commands. So that really helps or should help in reducing the time to search the logging. The other stuff that's available, you can also search on-prem. So there is also an on-prem connectivity capability, which we saw very useful in hybrid setups. So we have an on-prem AD and you have your tenant configuration, and to search the data there. The other thing is also PIM elevation. So when customers using a privileged identity management, you know, what was the role elevation being done? What was the reasons? And really be able, again, to filter on certain parameters.
It was really, we talked to the Dart team and we just kind of walked through what does their workflow look like and how much stuff they were doing by hand, or they were had like, you know, these disparate scripts that they were trying to run, and we kind of looked at combine. And you can run it without, like, you'll use this without having there being an incident. Like, one of my customers was just using this to look at some of the MFA data, and they realized that a large percentage of their IT people have still not completed their MFA registration, right? So they're able to go give people a nudge. So there's a lot of good information in there that, you know, you could probably get different ways, but it makes it a little easier if you just kind of got some time on your hands and go run through it and just kind of look through the output and see what's, see what's interesting.
It's kind of preventative measures as well too. That's really cool. Or at least checking for misconfiguration. Yeah. I noticed a lot of the playbooks are very well detailed with PowerShell commands, right? As you mentioned, this module and various other ones. There might be some defenders out there that haven't really dove into the PowerShell thing or might be a little bit nervous to try some of this stuff. Do you have any recommendations on how people can, one, kind of learn PowerShell if they're at step zero on that right now? And then also, is there any easy way to set up like an environment to play with this or test it or anything like that?
In terms of learning PowerShell, I think There's a bazillion different things available to you, but it's pretty straightforward, right? It's just, you know, that verb dash noun type of thing, right? Get whatever we're going to do and or add whatever. So it's pretty easy to go pick up. So if you haven't started picking it up, definitely, you know, start. Maybe this is a good thing to use, or, you know, look for those tasks that you're repeatable things. And though maybe it only takes you a minute or two to do, take the extra time to go use it as a reason to go learn PowerShell and go through it. So it, I think it's definitely something that if you have not started at all, I mean, I don't know, just Google like learn PowerShell. There's like, I feel like there's a million of these different, like PowerShell in 30 days, PowerShell in 10 minutes. I mean, I feel like there's like a lot of these different videos available and guides.
And what we also did specifically for the incident response module, we provide examples for each commandlet. So when you do get minus help for this specific command, you will get specific examples. So we're also trying to be as helpful for the people. And as you touched on, like, we're trying to be as specific for exactly, you know, people who are maybe not familiar enough yet with Azure AD or the tooling that is available. Or as I said, you know, not all customers have all the functionality in the tenant. So we really trying to be, let's say, what's the bare minimum that everybody should be able to use?
The thing that you had mentioned earlier about validating the work and that everything was there, right? That's one, something I wanted to circle back around to as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that ties in well. You have very, very detailed workflow diagrams and all of that. And one of the things I love about this project is, you know, anytime there's a standard that we can say, like, in this very common scenario, we are the authority in this thing. These are the things that you should do when this happens. We have, you know, wide scope of a lot of people that have had these problems, and this is the best way to handle it. This is a great project for that sort of thing. How did you approach coming up with those steps and saying, like, do we have all the steps we need to have? Do we not have the steps we don't need to have? I guess more in a general sense, like developing playbooks. Like, what was your kind of process for making those?
I can start. Yeah, so we basically kind of met a couple times, a handful of us, and really whiteboarded it out and just really made sure that we weren't missing things. And we had different, you know, SMEs from different parts that, you know, have a little more experience. And then we all kind of walked through it and made sure we thought we weren't missing anything. And then we had the Dart team use it on their engagements. And that nothing beats like actually, you know, in the heat, trying to follow through it. And, you know, that's always very enlightening when we find like, oh, this step should probably come later, or this one, we missed this one entirely. And that was a real good way to kind of do it. And the good thing about things being on, we made a conscious choice to not have this be like a white paper, but to be on the docs site. And people can add on and make suggestions and changes, and we'll definitely take a look at them and happy to head on to that. And same thing with the PowerShell module. Today it's in the PowerShell gallery, but we're moving it to GitHub. And I know there's some people already on Twitter that have suggested, like, hey, can we add this, or can you sort by this and things like that. So I think there's going to be quite the opportunity to kind of add on and help out with it.
And maybe to add what Mark said, so it was really a process. Like, it was a learning process for us as well. you know, we had this idea. And then, as Mark said, we really sit together in a room and say, okay, let's work, you know, let's write down everything, what you do on a typical basis on, let's say, password spray, for example. Like, let's write down all the steps. And then the collective team looked at, you know, does that make sense? Is there a better way to do that? And then also we, besides the actual like real life validation that Mark mentioned, that, you know, the Dart team has been using that in real engagement, we also did, you know, walkthroughs with our investigation team. So as I mentioned, like, we have hunting teams internally. We have our folks from security support, like, who also, like, the guys who are answering phone calls, like, and there's also a specific team, it's called CSS Security, who does, you know, day in, day out security cases. So they also looked over that and looked, you know, does that make sense? And they're actually also using those playbooks and the PowerShell module as well. That's also something we leverage internally in the security support teams, is they also use that. So that's why we're reasonably confident that, you know, the steps actually work, and that's why they're also so detailed out.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. I mean, the fact that they're battle tested and you put some very careful thought into it. I wanted to ask about that because I know, you know, every team has to come up with playbooks for everything, right, that they're doing in their security team. And I have a lot of students that ask, like, how do I know I'm doing everything we need to be doing? And so it sounds like for you, the answer was like, let's very, very carefully think about it for one, but then also make sure in reality it's working. You mentioned the dark team. I do not know what that is, and I'm sure our listeners probably don't either. Could you describe that real quick?
Thomas mentioned a little bit in the beginning. I don't know what it stands for. Response, probably. So, I mean, anyway, basically, when you have an incident and you call Microsoft Security for help, there's a team that we have that you can work with, your account team, to have basically, they jump on a plane and they come help do incident response for you and with you. They don't do that so much on the plane anymore because of COVID, but they're still very, very busy, and they do it remotely. And I'm not sure how that model is going to change in the future. But basically, it's the services team, incident response team, that will come out, and that's all they do. So they're very, very well battle tested, as you said, right, in terms of how to do incident response.
So the official name, I just looked it up. I also needed to look it up. It's called Microsoft Detection and Response Team. So that's why DART.
There you go.
And yeah, as Mark said, they're doing incident response day in and day out. So that's all they do. That's the main focus, is doing incident response on a global basis, and with our largest customers typically.
Awesome. So yeah, validated in the real world with real incidents.
That's right.
One of the other things I was thinking is, you know, anytime I look at a playbook and it's a series of these steps, right? Do this, is this thing or the other thing, go this way, go that way, whatever it is. A lot of those steps oftentimes are great candidates for automation. Is there anything that you've thought of in terms of these playbooks where maybe, I don't know if you've already taken steps toward this or otherwise, but would you say that some of these steps could be automated or should be in a certain way?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things that what we said, like when we sit together in the rooms and, you know, walk through the steps, is definitely we say, oh, we should automate that step. We should build stuff. And one of the outcomes is exactly that PowerShell module. So that PowerShell module is already, let's say, the first step into that direction. The other thing that we're working on with the Sentinel team, for example, right now, is that there will be playbooks, like automated playbooks within Sentinel. So that is in the works right now. And yeah, definitely we're today, I was having a for identity team for like what kind of, you know, automation could and should we add for, you know, that are based on the playbook. So there's definitely, you know, active work going on from those teams to look at the playbooks and like what automation we should be adding into the other censoring and visibility tools that we have. So Defender for Identity is one example, and Sentinels. There is active work going on right now. So stay tuned. So hopefully later this year we will be able to talk about like what automation also came out of those playbooks.
Awesome. Good to hear that. Is there anything that you could give people that are listening in terms of advice on, you know, when you're looking at these individual steps and you're asking that question, like, can and should this be automated? How are you making those decisions? And how are you saying like, oh, this step is definitely not something you should automate versus this one is clearly a good candidate?
I think when we were first doing it, we are going through the scenario is like a lot of the repeatable steps that people were doing by hand. And we're like, oh man, that just feels like that's like a a PowerShell script that could just like do that, sort it, and then grab the top 10. And then you would go like, then as a human would go look through like the specifics. So yeah, I think it's the things where it's the repeatable thing where you don't have to really use your brain, but there's a good opportunity to like mistype something or like skip a step. Those are the ones that I feel like are really prime for like automation. Like if you know that every time you're going to look at your MFA registrations for the last week, and then someone has to try to calculate the date or do the minus equals or whatever, like maybe you could just write a whole wrap around that and then just look at the like top five or something like that. Like I think that's stuff that's very automatable. But we have someone on our team, his name is Ian Farr, who wrote the amazing PowerShell script. So I kind of deferred a lot of what he thought was automatable to him because he's a wizard at that stuff.
Yeah. Is there anything specifically that you look at and you're like, these are the things that make something distinctly not automatable?
In terms of the detection and the automation, so we definitely rely on the Dart team for making this judgment call. So when we look at what's not automatable today is more like the pattern and the, let's say, the experience. So if you have done like 100 password spray investigations, you get a sense of, you know, oh, this looks fishy, or I've seen a similar pattern in, you know, investigation code name X, for example. And I can totally relate to that. So when I was working in support and I was doing kernel debugging for years, my brain started to develop a pattern that I could, you know, look at the hex dump and I can see, you know, where is the bug. And this is the same thing. I think, you know, humans have this incredible capability. Like if you're doing things repeatedly and getting exposed to these events, you get this great sense, which is still very hard to, you know, mimic in AI, for example. We've made great progress in AI and in identity protection, for example. We have a lot of great detections. Password spray, for example, is a good one, or abnormal travel or abnormal sign-in activities, those kind of things. But exactly for the investigations, like really for the APT level investigations, this is something I think we will rely on exactly these well-trained and experienced investigators for the foreseeable future, I would say.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, there's always a lot of stuff that, you know, once you, like you said, you get experience with it and eventually like, this is something I could just put on cruise control, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the other things you had in the playbooks was a list of the event IDs that people are going to need in order to be successful at picking up these things. For people that may be in a spot right now where they don't collect those things, is there any easy guidance or templates or like something where you can easily just take all that information you have there and say, do we have these things or do we not? And then change it if you don't have them.
I'll refer to Mark for that one.
I don't know if we have anything. I mean, a lot of the event IDs are the Windows event IDs on the Federation server, right? So, I mean, you should be collecting those just like you're collecting the logs on your domain controllers. Like, I think it's pretty critical. So if you're not collecting those, you probably need to go back and look at the ADFS best practices guide to make sure you're pulling those event IDs through your SIEM, because that will turn pretty quickly if you're giving a lot of authentications through. But a lot of the customers we work with are really trying hard to move off of ADFS or Federation in general and move to that managed auth where it's all in Azure AD anyways.
Is there like a one-stop shop though for like Microsoft's like, here's what you should log?
So for on-prem, yeah, we have the security baselines, absolutely. And also the Defender for Identity folks have done a great job in listing out scenarios for, let's say, lateral movement on your, you know, domain controllers or any tier zero systems. That's definitely a great recommendation. They also have done, you know, a great level of details on what kind of events to monitor. We also, in the playbooks, as I said, like we listed out the events that we think you should be monitoring. So definitely, like if you don't do that today, better do it. Better start implementing it. There's also something we're working on is to exactly come up with a guidance for the events that the customers should be monitoring. For on premises, we have besides the security baseline, we have a great white paper. It's called the Windows 10 and Server 2016 Security Monitoring Reference Guide. Which is like, I think it's like 1,000 pages document, which lists out essentially every single security event in the Windows operating system. And also, you know, gives guidance on like what to monitor on. So for on-prem, that is there already. For the cloud, that's something we're working on right now.
Okay, good to hear. One of the other things I wanted to bring up, beyond just are you logging, right? Especially with the password spray playbook, you already have some integrations there with various like third-party SIM solutions and things like that. Could you talk a little bit about the status of what you have so far there?
So that's the Azure Event Hub. It's in our docs. So I know we have stuff that's pushing all the logs to the... Okay, so basically before, the way you would get the logs out of Azure AD is you have to do a Graph API call. And you'd have to give it like a time range, and then you'd have to pull the logs in, and then your team would have to know, like, I need to do another call, and then do I need to do an overlap to make sure I don't miss any logs, and then you have to kind of dedupe the stuff that you just already grabbed. So there's a bunch of stuff you had to kind of do with it. That's where the Azure Event Hub came from, that will basically push all the logs through. So you're not actually querying it, we're getting it pushed through. I could find the doc here and put in the chat, but so basically, it's going to be stuff for Splunk, for QRadar, for any of those types of SIEM vendors. They have basically pre-built connectors that they'll hook up to Azure Monitor, and then the logs get pushed directly to your SIEM.
Fantastic. Finally, the last part that we haven't touched on yet for the playbook content is the remediation piece. For the recommendations for remediation that you have in these playbooks and what you're going to use going forward, are these going to be steps that require certain technologies, or are they kind of written more generically, or kind of how did you come up with those?
They're written more generically, so they should be relevant for, let's say, any customer who faces such an attack, or for password spray, for example. And they don't rely on any specific technology, really. So it's really guidance you should apply when you face, and ideally proactively, that you don't end up in such an event. And the same goes for malicious app consent. So it's really, you know, generic guidance that have been, again, have been proven, have been, you know, tested in real world scenarios. So there's no dependencies that I'm aware of at the moment for any other third party.
Yeah, we try not to do that. I mean, like, we always kind of try to do like a good, better, best type of model. Like, there's, if you don't have any licensing at all, like, this is the stuff you can do. And there's probably some more manual work you can do. And if you have other, some of the higher licensing, there's a lot more automation that's either built in for it. So for example, in identity protection, which is a P2 feature, if a user goes to high risk, we can automatically put them through a password reset flow where they have to do MFA and all that kind of good stuff. And that's just part of the tool. If you don't have that, you can do that yourself, like through some scripting and stuff, and do it. But we kind of always give you like a good, better, best type of model where, you know, depending on what licensing you have available to you, you can always do something.
Awesome. So yeah, so you got some pretty comprehensive coverage here, from prerequisites documented to investigation steps and all the commands, all the expected outputs, and the remediation piece of it. Really, really thorough kind of project put together here. I want to talk the future of this. Where do you see this going kind of in the near term as well as the longer term?
So for the near term, the PowerShell module will be moving to GitHub. So we'll be having this as a community project, so people can contribute and improve it as they see gaps. Also, on docs, we already received a good amount of feedback. We will be incorporating and updating the guidance as the first set of feedback. We're constantly looking into what other new vectors are coming up. So if we see, let's say, a rising threat in, I don't know, yeah, a new area in Azure AD, we will be working again with the Dart team and creating those playbooks. A very recent example is, you know, end of last year, SolarGate. Probably people are familiar with that. That's something we were thinking of, like, shall we put maybe a playbook out there? There is great guidance already out there. So that's why we're right now looking into, you know, does it make sense to create yet another playbook? But as said, you know, we're working with the overall Microsoft security community to see what other playbooks and other guidance would make sense on other services, for example. So maybe in Azure itself, like Azure resources, do we need anything there? The other thing that we're working on is, besides incident response, the next step is then obviously compromise recovery. This is also something, you know, what do you do in that case? Like, what's the guidance there from Microsoft? And that work has just started. So that's something, we hope to have that out there at some point in the future. Maybe a structured guidance also on compromise recovery. What does it look like in terms of compromise recovery?
Yeah, that's actually one thing I was going to ask you about. I saw on one of the pages, I don't remember if it was on the intro page or something, that they had mentioned, you know, things like the Exchange server vulnerability and other things like that. And that in the future, like, you might make a playbook specific to one vulnerability. So that's something you are intending on potentially at least considering if there's something that's a big enough deal that, like, you need specific guidance on here's how to remediate it.
So for a very specific one, we will probably put like a point, like the Solari one is a great example. So many teams pull together and complete or detailed guidance on a very, you know, short time frame. We'll definitely do that. Like if there is a new like large scale threat that rise, that we'll definitely create those. For the playbooks that we have right now out there is more like a group of attacks. Let's say, you know, if you look at phishing one, this is like a more generic one. This is something we're trying to look up, you know, is there another larger group that so we can create such a comprehensive guidance as well.
One thing I think would be awesome, if I can give you a suggestion live in the middle of the podcast, would be ransomware, right? Like preparing for such a thing and how to, if it does happen, recover as easily as possible, right? Yeah. That's one thing I know is on a lot of people's minds
right now. Right? And there's you may have guessed it, so there is active thinking on that one too. So I know that the same team that has worked there, we definitely talk about that, and we definitely looking into that. There is work going on, and there was recently a paper published on that one too. But not like a detailed playbook yet, in the sense of the playbooks that we have created right now. But yeah, definitely, absolutely acknowledge and good shout out. And definitely, like, we would love to hear from the community. Like, if you think, like, hey Microsoft, please put a playbook out there for this scenario. Let us know. We're like, we would love to hear that. Absolutely.
Fantastic. I think that probably brings us to the end here. If people want to give you those kind of suggestions, where can we get a hold of you to do that?
Oh, you just email Mark. So.
No. I think all the docs and everything are, you can go make comments and pull requests and stuff like that. That's absolutely fine. I'm on Twitter at Mark Morrow. I try to be pretty active on there. So if you have something specific, you can reach out to me on there, and I will make sure that we forward it to Thomas to make sure he takes a look at it for you.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Anything we missed before we say goodbye?
Turn on MFA. I feel like we have to say that like all the time. Like, it's still not good. So please turn on MFA if you haven't done so already, and make sure your logs are going into your scene, please. Yeah. There's lots of good stuff. Yeah. Log it.
All right.
Log it and look at the logs, definitely. Yeah.
Yep. Great. All right. So you guys have given us a bunch of awesome resources and links. We'll be sure to gather all those things up and put them in the show notes for everyone that's listening. I'm sure everyone's going to want to hear that stuff. Thank you so much for crafting this up. I know it must have taken a ton of time being so detailed and all of that, but I'm sure that the Blue Team community is really going to appreciate that. With that, really looking forward to seeing where this project goes in the future. Thank you so much, and hope to catch you later.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, Blue Teamers. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Blueprint. If you've got a second and want to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It would be really, really meaningful to us. And if you have any ideas or suggestions, I would love to hear them. Your reviews are going to be one of the best ways to help others find this podcast. So anything you could do would be a big help. As always, thank you for listening. You can connect to me on social at SecHub, SecHubb on Twitter, or on LinkedIn. So until next time, thank you for listening to the Blueprint Podcast.